Hello, hello. Hi, everyone, and we're live, yeah? Bit late, as usual. There's a great reason for us being late, though. My stomach was in shambles, Chad.
I had to take a shit, bro. Just say it like this.
Just a straight-up shit, dude. Whew. I'm currently looking through the COD Reddit, and wow, it's in shambles as well. somebody took Joanna's face, the commissioner, and like put a bunch of money emojis on it and put, "You just got fined."
I actually read that. I saw that in bed last night. I think I saw it on, yeah, I was actually on Reddit because I was fucking,
yeah, so she's not fining people, like,
yeah, and so like from what I've, she's pretty nice, like, I don't think
one of the nicest, like, human beings,
yeah, like she's pretty awesome when it comes to like relating to players and being open to conversation. So yeah. I just feel bad because it's like that just fucking human being, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What's the general vibe of the community this year to use in compared to previous years?
Let me pick what I say carefully. I mean, I would say a lot of players are a little upset, obviously, like,
well, I meant like not players, outside of the immediate circle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a lot of negativity this year for a lot of different reasons. I mean, COVID started things off strong. We were having a good time at events. Things were going well, and then bang.
Yeah, we're all inside. It just, everybody's in a bad mood.
I mean, everybody's just miserable. Like,
yeah.
Like everyone's literally just losing their minds in their house, and like now patios are starting open, and
they're getting shut back down.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's because people, like, I just don't get it. Because I'm here in Toronto, it's like pretty contained. Like, the max number of cases recently was like 100, 120, whereas Florida was like
10,000 today.
10.7 today. It just goes to show, like, the disconnect between like people in different areas. It's like, if everybody in America waited like 1 month to start going out again, I think the numbers would be way less. Obviously, the protests were different. Like, that was just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was kind of inevitable, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall vibe this year, it's been tough, but
it's all from home, bro. All from home. How's like
how have
the
you been, though?
Yeah, how have you been?
How have you been dealing with it all?
We play video games. Like, I've been telling everybody, like, we've been self-quarantining for years, like fucking years, but we literally just don't leave our now it's just forced. Like, we used to do it by choice. Now it's just like forced. You know what I mean? Obviously it's different, 'cause this year, like, franchising, whereas like my team was going to like a facility every day. So like the social aspect was cool. I think you get better practice too in person, 'cause like just easier to have a conversation in person.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's different. Being in Toronto away from the family is definitely tough as well. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen my family since Christmas. My friends, girlfriend moved home with the dog. So it's just me here. But like I said, stuff's starting to open here. I know it's different in the U.S. So like we're starting to go out drinking and go to restaurants a little more often.
But everything's been open over here. The mayor actually just said that everybody has to wear masks, though, in Columbus. So
yeah, it's a little late. About time. Shit.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, Ohio's been pretty good about it overall.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're before other places. Like, a lot of other cities aren't mandatory making people wear masks. So that's good that they're mandatory making us wear masks. Although, those masks make me feel like crap, dude. But
No one likes wearing the mask. Chris is in the chat says, you guys pro mask or against mask? No one likes wearing a mask. I where is this person, right? But
yeah.
How are you not wearing a mask at this point, like, with all the information given to you when you go out and all that? LA was at a point where we were doing really well, and then it reverted. Like, everyone started, they opened up everything, and everyone was going out just being reckless. And then we went from doing well to being like one of the hotbeds for it all.
It's
like, dude. So everything's going to close again.
I mean, like, you think of it, like, because places are sort of opening. So, like, putting myself in their shoes, it's like, okay, a bar is open. I'm going to act like I'm at a bar. Like, I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to interact. But it's like, no, you can't do that. Like, we actually have to be different now. Like,
no, it's true. It's weird, dude.
2 a.m., you don't want to wear a mask? All right, you're probably not going to see anybody. But, like, 3 p.m., you're going to the store. I hope to God you have a mask on. You know what I mean?
Dude, it's weird. I mean, I've been out and about. And, yeah, people, even though there's like rules in place and they have these like, you know, strategies of how they're going to and procedures, how they're going to operate their business. Nobody follows it and they're not stopping people. Like they'll put, so what I've noticed what bars do, I went out one night and they put like tables in the middle of like the floor and stuff. Yeah. like what? People just circle around tables and right next to it. It doesn't make sense. But anyways, yeah, enough of that. I just feel like the COVID conversation went away and then now it's back. But, you know, maybe champs will be on land. You know, we never know. Nobody knows anything yet.
I mean, listen, I actually don't know anything. But, like, thinking of it logically, it can't be in the States. I mean, like,
there will be no champs on land.
That's my logical thinking. Obviously, every player, every fan, every personality is hoping to God that we get an event. Like,
but if you're making the decision, you're not putting it on land, right?
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know the media shitstorm Activision would go through if something happened to one person involved.
Yeah,
with champs being on land,
you'd have to get all the team owners to agree to that, and like that's a risk for the team owners too.
Bro, we got 60 players. All it takes is one player to have an immune issue or something that just. It's just too risky. And I'm talking like, I pray to God it's on land because all the money in it, just the sheer fact that events are just fair.
Yo, what's the official champs prize pool?
It's 400K each for first.
Yeah, yo, imagine Illy wins 400 racks from his bedroom, bro.
With his bathrobe over on the side.
Yo, and then, he wins it and then, if I won that online, I'd immediately go live after the tournament, like, let's fucking go, baby. Like, I'd be live playing pubs. Like I love Modern Warfare, bro.
I know, like, what sucks is, like, I think tens? I think we all know, like, thinking of it from right now, whoever wins champs is going to get discredited, no matter what. Like,
I don't give a fuck.
I wouldn't give a fuck.
Oh, no.
I would be like, I'm a world champion, no cap.
Exactly, as a player, but it's just like, no matter what, there's going to be an asterisk next to everything. Like, Florida's went back-to-back, which is awesome.
What
like,
is an asterisk? It's some abstract thing that nobody really cares about.
Nah, but exactly. It's real in terms of when you're talking about things. Like, that's when it becomes real. So, like, imagine if your first tournament win, Atlanta Zen, where you win MVP or whatever it is. Imagine that was online, and you couldn't have that credit to your name, where you're like, you really did that shit.
I already got fucking discredited. The Pierre should have won it. Dan should have won it. Fucking the MVP should have won it.
We were talking about the championship, not MVP.
It's the same thing. You win and get the championship in your one and only win, but like it was on land. So no matter what anyone says to you, I was beating your ass that event. Exactly. Like, period.
That was location. Like, oh, you were a Chicago player. He was on the server. It's like he lives there. He went fucking 40 and 30. We saw it.
Did you guys know that COD Mobile has a $1 million world championship as well?
Yeah, I'm about to get involved.
Yo, I just Googled the world championship prize pool so I could look at it. And the first thing that I typed in to Google champs prize pool 2020. And it's not COD champs, CDL champs that pops up. It's mobile champs. Come on, man. Like, we've been having champs for so many years. Like,
drop shot in here.
Can we not get that Google spot, Activision? Can we get that Google search spot? Come on, dude. But anyways, yeah. Imagine that. You could.
Whoa, gee.
It kicks off. I
never played like Clash of Clans or none of that crap on the phone.
It started in April, so you're probably chalked.
Nah. Yeah, going back to the original combo, like,
yeah.
Holy shit, this year is something. Like, we're looking like, it's just funny because like every new year you're like, this is the year, and like, this was not the year for anything. Like,
CDL's been solid despite all the challenges. I will say that they've adapted. Like,
luckily we can do our jobs from home. Granted, it's obviously a little stressful, but nonetheless, like, we're still getting paid to play video games. So, like,
well, look at all the major leagues, Zin. Like, think about all the major leagues and, like, who's adapted and done well and, like, created a good format and made it respectable. Like, I feel like COD's up there. I think the CDL's done a good job with some of the cards that they were dealt, even though people give them a hard time. I mean, you got to think about the game that we're launching with, which is, I mean, just being honest, a tough game. And with the state of the world, like, I don't think anybody envisioned it being like this year. The wombo combo of COVID and MW hand we've gotten dealt. So hopefully next year is way better.
I mean, it's just hard to believe that, like, not one competitive update. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, personal feelings aside, like, throw us a bone. Like, one update. Just like,
we just got
something.
One. Let's go.
Yeah.
That was... Cool.
Let's talk about it. Since the new update,
yeah,
what has changed for you guys in scrims on the competitive side? Like, I know you run a main AR, so you're probably still running around with an M4, although your attachment has probably changed. What have you seen change? Because I've seen a lot on Twitter. People are talking about it publicly at this point.
Yeah.
What are the changes that you've seen?
I'll tell the whole world right now, the pro community is in fucking shambles. Like, it is like, fuck you, we're using this. No, we're using this. No.
Oh, really?
Bring back this. I mean, it always happens. Like, it's like a never-ending cycle. But this one was actually, like, pretty substantial. So the M4 with no stock is nerfed. But that being said, like, it's still... it's nearly just as good. It's definitely a little slower, but it's still just as good. But now, like, the guns I saw used just today were the AUG, the MP7, and the MP5. The Uzi, the damage rounds are, like, insane, so we kind of were like, okay, like, this can't really attach
to me across the map.
You guys got rid of the Uzi damage round? Uzi's my gun!
Yeah.
God, man. So we use the most OP gun in the game for 8 months, and then it like gets nerfed. We're going to have other guns, and then we go, fuck that gun.
No.
Fuck this other gun. Well, okay. Like, screw this.
The attachment that made the gun possible.
Yeah, so screw this other gun. We're not using this.
I mean, to be fair, it's like you shouldn't be able to 3-bolt an AR across the map with an Uzi. Like, that's kind of fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like, right now, the way the game is being played, like, subs are definitely complaining a bit, but submachine guns are actually acting like submachine guns. Whereas, like, this year, it's kind of like the Vector. Like, you're challenging across the map with an SMG versus an AR, and a lot of the times you can win it.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that's not how a submachine gun should be used. Like, let's be real here. So, pro community's in shambles. I'm still anxious to see what we're playing with this upcoming weekend for the, not this, next weekend's tournament.
What are people thinking about getting rid of? And like, bringing back, like, you're saying, there's people who want to get rid of.
Oh, no, just like selfish. Like, oh, if you're using this, we're using 5 smokes. Oh, you're using that, we're gonna use auto attack sprint. Just like obviously, like, this, just the selfish shit that's always gonna, like. Yeah, and most of the time, people talk out of their ass, like, yeah, like, they're not being serious, but, like, Wuskin, when you're in a heated conversation and someone says that, it's just like,
yeah.
Like,
Wuskin tweeted out something like that. I'm trying to find it.
When it's all said and done, do you think people, or what submachine gun do you think that people are actually going to use in the, like, say, next week's tournament?
MP5, maybe MP7. FaZe is disgusting with MP7s. Like, unbelievable. Like, I was like, what's going on here?
They should have been using it all along.
My M4 is not shooting right.
But, Wuskin tweeted, sorry to cut you off, I just want to get your take on it. He said, first time I'm hearing this, but if there's a conversation about the knife being GA'd, then I need to know what they are smoking.
Dude, to be fair, like, in my opinion, like, if a smoke's on the ground, you shouldn't be able to pull out your knife and just run into it and knife 3 people. Like, that's from my point of view. Like, I really don't have, like, a set opinion on it, but, like, I don't think that's necessarily skillful.
Wait,
I'm sure it's cool to watch.
Why shouldn't you be able to do that?
Running through a smoke and just knifing people one hit?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, bro. If you played, it's just infuriating.
I mean, he's pulling out a knife. He's running into the smoke and he's knifing people. Smoke.
It doesn't. You don't play this game. They do. You know that doesn't take any talent in this game. You're just running through sniping people and you can't react to anything.
I mean yeah, because you can't see him. You don't get aim assist if you do see him. You're shooting the fucking sky and he's right in front of you, and then he just slits your throat. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think what sucks about, like, the meta changing is, like, what do we, like, it's so we can't practice. Like, it's either 12 hertz or 60, but the spawns are wonky on the 60, so everybody's just like, yo, like, it's hard, like, because you got to take 12 hertz with a grain of salt, because obviously shit is different. Like, it's just,
can you explain that to the people that might not know exactly what you're talking about, like the difference, or the difference in your scrim?
Yeah, so the tick rate. So basically, regular private matches are 12 hertz, which is basically, how do you explain it? There was an image I saw on Twitter where, like, someone jumped off a building and was like,
Whereas 60 is like this.
Mm-hmm. So just like the refresh rate and, like, cameras. So basically, if someone were to round a corner with an SMG on 12 hertz, they can camera you and you can't even react. Whereas 60 hertz, if I'm an AR and I'm pre-aiming that angle, it's very unlikely he can just round the corner and shit on me. It happens. Don't get me wrong. I get shit on sometimes. But, like, it's a lot less likely. But with the 60 hertz GB servers, everybody thinks that the spawns are different, like, which, I mean, I have to agree. At first, I refused to believe it. I was like, that does not make sense. The tick rate does not affect the spawns. And then today, I've never seen something like it. We were spawning back to back to back in the most insane locations. We were just like, bro,
practice is just not real.
So I mean, they have to either choose to practice on the GB servers, yeah, right, yeah, where the spawns are weird, or play on 12 hertz, where the game is different than the game they're gonna be playing in tournament.
Yeah, that yeah. sucks.
But we also get to test like the CDL servers, so like we get to scrim on those CDL servers, but that's not an everyday thing. That's like if you're lucky once or twice a week, you know what I mean? Because obviously they can't have every single team on the servers at the same time. So it's just, I don't know, bro. We're in a tough spot, and definitely. It's frustrating. But they could do it. I enjoy playing the game. Like, the gunplay in the game is actually awesome.
So this wish is first, you had Dead I think we've heard, search. Like, an extreme positive from a pro on the show. It feels good, honestly. I appreciate it. And that sounded genuine, so I believe you. But
you might be the first pro to come on and say that, actually.
But the gunplay, like, listen, bro, we have not one competitive update. So from a competitive standpoint, it's been a tough year. That's all I'm going to say. Like, it's just... It's tough. Like, I'll cap myself there. It's just fucking tough. But
yeah.
The guns, like, shooting the M4, it's fun. Like, this sounds cool. Like, it's.
All right. You know what I mean?
The gunplay is good. Like,
I want to reset all the way back to the beginning, like we do with every guest on the show.
Yeah.
I think it's just cool to paint a picture and tell a story. So let's start with the very beginning of the year going into the season. I was kind of alongside you throughout a lot of the searching process for a team because we both lived here. We were hanging out, and it was really stressful. Can you tell us a little bit about like what your plan was going in, what you were hoping for, and how everything happened? Just a lowdown on the beginning of the season.
I was like freaking out at the beginning of the year because I'm coming off my Black Ops 4 year. My World War II ending was – I mean, I had a good World War II year, but I got dropped from Optic. That's like the best thing, worst thing that happened to me, joining Optic. It's like the best thing, and then if you don't win, it's like – Yeah. This guy looks like he's shit because he didn't win with Scump and Crimp.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Obviously, like, you know what I mean? So then Black Ops 4, I joined that FaZe team. I get dropped when I didn't deserve it. You can't tell
Shouldn't
me otherwise.
Shouldn't have got dropped from
that team, I agree. It's mind-blowing. And then I'm stuck on UIU, which I got blessed with. Some kid got fucked over, that poor kid, and I got blessed as
well. Oh, spoof, right?
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have gotten dropped, honestly. They qualified, and he just got dropped.
They didn't even play one match with the kid. Yeah. Anyway, it's not your fault.
Yeah, yeah. So whatever. So we're going to this year. I'm stressed out. I get the Toronto offer. I also have one other potential offer, but I'm being told to wait. And it's like, I have an offer in writing with Toronto. In my head, I'm like, I want to play for a good city, a big city. I want to go there and be the best I can at like a major city. And like the major cities are what? New York, LA, Toronto, Chicago. Those are like, I would say the major cities in the CDL. So I get the Toronto offer. I was pretty much on board the entire time. I wasn't going to wait for another offer. I was just like, I pretty much had that offer, but it wasn't official. I didn't want to let this offer slip, so I signed to Toronto. And they want to go a different route, the 10-man roster. I'm skeptical of that at first. I mean, it's like, from my perspective, at the time, it's like only 5 players are playing. It just adds a very weird dynamic to the team because, like, I think we all know that Call of Duty is, like, repetition and, like, getting used to your teammates and going, like, being in the same situation so many times that you know what to do in that exact situation.
100%.
So when you're constantly switching people in and out, depending on how much time you have, it can be difficult. So that being said, if we didn't have the 10-man roster, our team would look entirely different. Our team right now would be me, Looney, Lucky, Metals, and Brack. And I'm not sure how good that team would be. Maybe now with the new meta with the ARs, it wouldn't be that bad, but, like, back in the beginning, I don't think it would have worked well. So the 10-man roster was kind of a blessing to sort of find the footing and find the roster that we want the most. And, so I'm living in Toronto now. My girlfriend was living with me until, 3 months ago? And everybody keeps telling me, like, yo, summer in Toronto is the best time ever, and now we're stuck in fucking quarantine. So it's like, it is an awesome
winter,
city.
Dude, going outside,
I still
man.
Go for yeah, so it. I'm happy to be playing here. I just wish, obviously, things were different when it came to the outside world.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't talk about our roster changes.
Well, I'm going to ask you about stuff that happened. I don't have to ask you about stuff that might potentially happen.
Say one more time.
I'm going to ask you about stuff that's already happened with your roster, though. So, like, what went into, like, the benching of Looney? I've always still wanted to know the absolute details of it because nobody's ever told me. What do you mean, come on, bro? Why is it a secret? You guys benched him. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Listen, bro. We have a coaching staff.
Okay.
That does that makes decisions. We have multiple staff members on the coaching staff who make decisions like this, and that's all I can say.
But
I mean,
wait, what do you mean? That's all you can say? Did you guys have any? Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
All right, so, what is the roster that you played the most amount of time with in tournament play, I should say, so far in the tournament?
Shit, I don't even know. Probably the roster of me, Bantz, Cammy, Metals, and Nick.
So the roster that was in the last... So the last official roster didn't have Nick on it, and it had Kleenex, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep... You have to admit, I mean, you're playing on the team, so not as hard for you, but for the rest of us, it's really hard to keep up with the current iteration of your roster. So So I think CDL Intel leaked that Nick is back on the starting roster now, but not for Kleenex. It's for Metals? Correct?
He can't say anything, but...
No, you can't say I'm correct, but is that what the Intel said?
CDL Intel tweeted that. Yes, they did.
Okay. So CDL Intel said that. So now you're on what? You're... sixth iteration of a roster in this season, something like that. How is it before in practicing? Do you just show up one day and you're like, okay, fuck it, this is who we're going with today?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. How does it go in practice? Do you guys say anything, or do you just...
here's what I want to say. I think it was a risk from the beginning, obviously, and in my opinion, parts of it has worked and part of it hasn't. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way it
works.
Wait,
before you continue. So I think what I'm gathering from what you're saying is that going into the team, you guys realized, like, our coaching staff was going to make decisions for the roster, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to take our input, but ultimately they're going to make decisions. And then we were going to...
Exactly.
When we signed on board with this, we knew it was going to be like this. And so you're saying, okay.
It's been player ran forever. And if you look at me... on that phase team, for example, if a coaching staff was making the decisions on that team, I don't think I would have gotten dropped.
I get it.
But because players did, I was the guy. You know what I mean?
I think it could be good if you have the right people in place doing it. And I know you won't comment on everything, but I have a lot of disagreements with a lot of the people in positions of power making those types of decisions. Personally, in my opinion, I don't think that there's a lot of... I think there's maybe a short list of people that aren't playing that are qualified to actually make COD rosters.
So what you're saying is that you don't believe... Ant. Oh, this is a question to Nameless, not... Sorry, Ant.
You're good.
You don't believe that, like, let's say Marky B and Dominique are qualified to make these types of roster decisions without...
Dominique is not coaching staff. She's general manager.
I don't even know what the exact general manager role is.
I wouldn't single out people, but apparently there's like a team.
Wait, who else is a part of the coaching staff? Is it like an analyst or something?
Marky B, and the analyst is Flux. You remember Flux?
Was he not on Epsilon, that team you 1v3'd?
European? Yeah, he's hilarious, and he's good too.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0 and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair, each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
To answer your question, John, it depends on who the coach is. Those people as the coaching staff, I do not believe that that staff should be making decisions on who should be playing and who shouldn't solely for the squad. I just like if you're going to go with like a 10-man roster, you really, really... And the coaching staff is supposed to make decisions on who's going to play and who isn't. Some people in and out. Then you better have like an A1 coaching staff. And no slight to those people at all, but... looking at like their history, like they don't have a lot of championships under their belt as coaches. So, you know what I mean? Like if it was Crowder we were talking about or something, it'd probably be a little bit different in my eyes. But it's not. So I just
think Crowder's never made one team change. So
yeah. I need to defend my people real quick.
I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying look at the but like hear what I'm saying first.
Because it looks... if I was a coach of a 10-man roster, of all decently well-known players, no matter what five you pick, people will disagree. No matter, you can put the best five players in the team. Like, let's say, Ant, let's say you're one of our players on the bench right now. We would probably get a bunch of tweets saying, how is Nameless not playing? That's just the way it's always
going to
be.
I wouldn't be on the bench, so, point blank period.
Yeah, but like,
well, Looney's on the bench, so you probably be on the bench. Toxic motherfucker.
Nah, dude.
Yeah, so like, there's no.
But when your team's like, ass, you need entertainers to support the ecosystem. Go ahead, Zin.
And then, and then obviously, as you guys know, like, there's behind the scenes shit behind changes that no one knows about, and like, no one can go out there and talk about it. Like, that's just not the way things go. So everybody's gonna be like, this guy's good, and this guy's not, and this guy does this, this guy does that. But no one truly knows unless you're actually involved.
But
that's just the way it's always gonna
be. That is a duty of the organization and the team to be transparent with the fans and let them know why they're making certain decisions.
I disagree entirely. You don't gotta go out and say this is the reason this guy's not playing this weekend. I don't think you would.
It's absolutely a duty of the team.
I don't think you owe anybody that.
Absolutely, look at sports.
Publicly?
Look at sports.
Yeah. I don't believe that publicly they have to say anything about it. I feel like that's in house completely. I agree with.
No, I disagree. In sports, if a fucking superstar is benched, there's a reason. If a historical great player is benched, it doesn't have to be a superstar.
Protecting the player, like them not saying why, could also be protecting the player. You know what I mean? Like, let's say someone has a shit personality and they don't want to hurt their career going forward. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this guy has a shit personality, so he can't be on the team. Like, there's different reasons as to why I don't think you could publicly, with every move, say, this is who's playing, this is why. I just think that COD is like,
right now, if COD was like a little bit bigger and there were more journalists asking a ton of questions, then I think that they would be grilling Ultra more as to why like players like Classic or players like Looney aren't playing. I definitely think that would be the question. And in the future, I bet you that proves to be true.
What I can say firsthand is
my opinion.
The organization got a lot of flack for those decisions, but there's so much more actually to it, and that's literally all I can say.
And like, that's what I'm saying, though. People would want that information in the future.
In general,
though, more journalists that would come out.
People are going to give flag. So what do you guys placed in the CDL right now? Like 9th through 12th, correct?
Right now we're 10th.
Okay, so 10th. So in general, if those moves had worked, at least from the outside, without knowing any of the details, if the moves worked, so no one's saying a fucking word. If those moves had worked, I don't think that they would be catching any flag.
Yeah.
But you guys are in 10th place, although you guys did body slam Optic Los Angeles last week. But according to Intel, you guys have already changed your roster from that point. Like, what do you expect people – I don't understand what they expect people to say. They're going to judge the situation knowing that there's people on the bench who have had success in Call of Duty in the past, like a lot of success, not playing, and then you just have all these weird decisions being made and there's no one being told – like
also
the public
in sports,
is not being given any information.
Yeah, also in sports, when teams aren't playing – in sports when teams aren't playing well, they usually – and they're making moves, they're explaining why, well, hey, this isn't working for us, this is why we're making this move, et cetera, et cetera. It's not just, we subbed in this guy. You know what I mean? So – that's why.
To be fair, I think there hasn't been a lot of like trades and like dropping of players this year compared to like you don't really see trades this year from team to team, with exception of Pristini to Chicago. Like, it's all in house. Like, people are using their substitutes. Like, there really hasn't been outside trades, and I think COVID could have something to do with that, because some teams are in a set location and going there is not that easy. Basically, listen, we're in 10th place. If we won all the round 11s we lost, we'd be tied for fourth. And that's not an excuse. I'm not sitting here saying we are in 10th place. We all know that. But I will tell you personally, I know how good my team is, and we're not a 10th place team. No matter what, you two will say we're 10th, and it's fucking warranted. We are in 10th place. But we bring Atlanta round 11 last map. Same thing with Chicago on land. Bring Dallas last map. It's not like we're swinging and missing versus every team. We are getting this close and not closing it out, which is obviously an issue. But to sit here and say we're not getting blown out, and that's – my team is better than everybody thinks. We are in 10th place. It's safe to say
a play here for you guys is like to make a run at champs. Like, that's what the play is for you guys. Like, all practice –
I think that's the play for everybody. I think this whole year feels like it's all practice for this huge event with so much money involved, where it's like if you win one of the home series – I'm not sure the exact pricing. I think it's 50K for first, I think.
Yeah, Zin's like, I haven't been close to that. I don't know what the first place is.
Don't worry about that one.
We missed a final by one round, too. We got the last last round, last map in a semis, we would have played FaZe in the finals versus Optic. That was us versus Optic.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was Optic's crazy run too.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
So, like we've been in
that was a good time.
You've been in some good spots. You guys have like those round 11s really have costed you. You've been smoked in round 11 since Black Ops 4, dude. Since Metals gunned you off the heady on whatever the hell that map was.
I think you mean to say since Skies fucking beat me in the 1v1 at Champs on my birthday.
Oh yeah, that too.
Had some shit birthdays. My birthday's on Champs every year. Jeez. Had some abysmal birthdays.
That's some shit.
Well, I wish you guys
I always thought
the best.
That with the roster, your guys' size, I always thought that it was going to come down to like some sort of S&D switches or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that might make sense in your 10-man roster, but I guess not. But I'm also not involved in your scrims and however the like how you guys decide things and any of that. So
how have scrims been?
I'll ask you this, though. Right now, with whatever 5-man, you don't tell me what your 5-man roster is. Do you feel like this is the best 5-man roster that you guys have assembled so far in this game?
And you're sticking with it.
That's not up to him, apparently. So,
come on, bro. But listen, like, you're gonna hate my answer, but like, I've been confident in every team we went into an event with. Like, truly, like, our team in practice is one of the best teams in the world. John can probably attest to that. He spectated our scrims versus Optic. Like,
cap.
If we something is, granted, scrims are different. Like, teams play differently in matches than scrims. Like, people are a lot more focused, and they're a lot like. They're a lot more disciplined in matches as compared to scrims. So, like, we kind of run around and probably gun people more than we would in an actual match. So, like, our scrim success is there. We're right there in the actual matches, and we haven't closed it out yet. So, yes, our goal is to get out of the top four so we don't start in losers at champs. That's an obvious one. Mm-hmm. And then make a run at champs. And no matter what, like, we've seen some crazy loser runs. If it just so happens that we are in losers, we need to prepare accordingly and go into the event. And like, we play Call of Duty. All three of us here know that any team can show up on a given weekend
and
make it far. Yeah. You know what I mean?
As long as you have confidence in said team, I do believe that. How many events are left till champs, by the way? Sorry,
I was going into that.
I don't know.
I think it's two or three.
No, it's three. So this is what I want to go into next, guys. So there's three events left, and you guys are in two of them, right? So you are in Toronto because you have a Toronto tournament, and then you are in New York. So that being said, you guys, and so the teams above you, that you want to get top eight realistically, like that's the easier goal for you guys. So you need to pass like Paris, Optic, Subliners, or Royal Ravens. And you're at 50, and those teams are like 70 to 80 points. It'll probably likely be like 110 to be in the top eight, like 110 points. So you guys need to win like five matches in the next two tournaments.
Looking at, you said Paris and Optic, right?
Yeah, Paris is looking like they're going downhill and crashing, and Optic is kind of in shambles as well. So
I mean, like, it's kind of like you're just hoping for teams to do bad and you guys do as best as you possibly can. It's kind of like my Rise team, World War II. We were going to be in losers bracket, and what was the match? We were all jumping up and down in the hotel room. John, you remember this at all? It was the Birmingham event?
Oh,
it was
Birmingham.
It was after group play. United lost, I think, to a team that you'd never expect them to lose to, or something like that. And somehow we got blessed with winners. We were fucking just jumping up and down the hotel room, sprinting back to the venue to shoot bots. Like, it was just one of those. We're like, so I mean, realistically, right now, we need to hope that the teams you need to pass don't play well, and we play well. And
I just looked. So Wisdom types in my chat, and she goes, "You guys play Paris first at New York. And then in Toronto, you play Optic first. That's huge. Beating those teams. Those are huge matches. You can beat them and they get bumped out 0-2. So those are massive games for you guys because top eight is huge. What does top eight put you? You get like, you're in winner's bracket, right? And then you're
in winner's start of her, I believe. Yeah. That's just huge. It doesn't matter where you start at that point. Yeah. Just being winners is huge.
Just not being in losers is giant. Yeah. Huge.
So what's your take on roster stuff? Like, do you want to just, no matter what roster is right now, keep it throughout the rest of the year just so you have practice and you're ready to go? Like, you don't want to make another change personally? I mean, I feel like that's a question you can answer.
In my personal opinion, it is best to get as many reps as possible with a team that you think will be playing at champs. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Pretty much.
Nice. Nice suit answers in.
Yeah, I mean it.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good, though. I mean, I agree with that. I think whatever team you have now should probably stick.
I don't know. How many people have not got a chance on the starting roster? Is it just two? All right. Is it just Brack and
why is Brack not played at all? He was good last year. I don't get it.
Lucky as well. You said who?
Oh, Lucky.
Brack. Why isn't Brack played? Everybody wants to know.
Come on.
You can't answer that?
What? Well, I mean,
the team doesn't feel like he's
like I said, dude, if there were more journalists than COD, you guys would have to answer these questions, bro. I really want to know why Brack hasn't played. Nobody knows. Everybody thought he was good.
Personally speaking, with this new meta, maybe it could be different. But before this, I mean, me and Carson have a similar play style. So, I mean, at that point,
okay. It
would kind of be like me or him in a sense. And, I mean, some people think I'm better. Some people think he's better. Like, it's just I don't know, bro. Like, you know I can't fucking answer these, and you're asking me.
All right. I'm sorry. I've only put you on spot here, like, twice.
Oh, Brack is the beat. You're cracking under pressure. Purple, Toronto Black, whatever the B team is, whatever he's their main AR, Zen's the main team's main AR, or whatever. So there you go. And he's not even naturally a main AR. He ran a Maddox last year, or whatever it is.
There
so
you go, bro. Put him in the MP5 role. There we go. Put him in the MP5 role, dude.
I mean, that thing was shooting like an AR. Shit.
I mean, Dan in the chat said the kid is not even a main AR, LMAO.
There you go. And Zen is clearly. All right. Where are we at, Ant?
Yeah, right. Jesus. Next topic.
All right. Well, before we move on, I want to give a quick shout out in the chat to call-ins. So in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be doing call-ins. So if you guys want to come in and ask me, Peck, or Zen a question, exclamation point call-in in the chat. You'll see a call-ins request text channel where you can ask any question you want, and I'll drag you guys in one by one, and you guys can come ask any question that you want. So exclamation point call-in in the chat and exclamation point Discord, and then I'll show you how to get in here and ask us some questions. But I wanted to talk a little bit about like the current top teams in the game. So what's your guys' current top four in order? I'll start with Zen since he's our guest and man of the hour. Then I'll go to John.
Yeah. So my top four would be Florida, FaZe, Dallas, Chicago.
Okay. Everybody has the same four.
Yeah. In order, I'll take Florida first.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas second, FaZe third, and then Chicago fourth.
Yeah, I think that's yeah, actually I do think that's my list, at least for the future going forward. I just feel like FaZe makes more mistakes than Dallas does. I do think FaZe is a better search team, just because this game is really like benefits individual play a lot, individual situational play, and they're better at that in search. But overall, I think Empire is like the more well-rounded team. Like, if it
realistically,
comes down
I can't even like if, realistically speaking, I don't think you can say Dallas or FaZe is better. Like, I think literally that team played each other 7 times or 8 times; they could each win 4 times. Like, I think it just like it's one of those matchups where like once you get to the top four, I mean, hell, even the whole league. Like, these are all professional teams. Realistically, any team can be like, we could have beaten FaZe when realistically. Looking at the standings, we shouldn't come close to beating FaZe, but we lost last map, last round. So you're talking about Dallas and FaZe. Like, that's like one of those where it's like the only team I've seen actually handle teams is Florida, which is surprising to me because
they're nasty, dude.
Someone who scrimmed against Florida before their last two runs, like, you didn't play them and you weren't like, yo.
When we would play them, I used to think they were like actual garbage.
I thought they were fucked. Frosty was playing Halo every night, saying his hands hurt. I was like, oh, these guys are beat. And then out of nowhere, they pick up the next Crimsix, I guess, Awakening.
He's and, like, nasty, huh?
I mean, yeah. But the thing is, like, the teams that have scrimmed that against him, I didn't hear one person say Awakening is nasty. And then he comes back-to-back tournaments and absolutely fries.
You think he's the best in the game him. Right now?
No, what?
Yo. Anyways. Real question. I think he's the best in the game right now.
Not even the best player on their team.
Nah, he is.
I mean, I don't.
That's cap.
He is the best. He's the best on their team. I mean,
we got to talk about that, too. This recency bias that players get in general in Call of Duty is absurd.
Right now, I mean, he's dominated last year.
It's actually absurd.
I mean, like, yeah. I mean, like, for example, Simp didn't have.
I'm just posing the question, chat.
Simp is Simp. And, like, the past two tournaments. He didn't go full Simp, which is like completely destroying everything. And it's like, oh, Simp fell off. And it's like, no, Simp did not fall off. He just not going full Rambo. I'm not talking about Ray. He's not going full Rambo against pro.
The
he's
chat.
Not going full Rambo against pro teams. Like,
The chat literally hates accepting new talent, bro.
I refuse calling any player in Call of Duty, like, given the history of Call of Duty and how I know how it is, I refuse calling anyone the best player in the game that I've never seen them do it on land against people.
I agree. I was just posing the question, but I do think he has been the best. In the last two tournaments, he's been the best.
That's anyone.
In the last two tournaments, he has been the best.
Kyler and AW was dropping 75 kills, and I was like, this kid's nasty, but I refuse to call him the best. Then he goes to land, and he drops 75 again. I'm like, all right, this
kid's bad. Awakening was the best in the last two tournaments.
It happened. That's it.
100%.
I mean, he hasn't been doing that Kyler shit either. Like, Pharaoh's been going nuts. Sky's been going nuts. Like, their team is just really good right now.
Yeah.
Awakening boosted all of them to the top, bro.
I mean, yeah, fair play to him. I mean, that's the thing. Like, all the pros, no matter what, are going to discredit him to some degree and be like, oh, he had a 0.8 or whatever. He had a Black Ops 4 champs. He didn't make it out of pool play, and now he's the best player in the world. Like,
and you got a point. And then if I'm him, I go, motherfucker, you got a 0.8 right now. That's what I would say.
No. I'm not saying. Listen, his personal feelings. If I'm him, I'm like, fuck all these guys. I'm on top of the world. I'm shitting on these guys. They can say whatever they want, but every other pro is just gonna be like, oh, it's not LAN, and that's just gonna be everybody's excuse because that's just the way it is. Like, no matter what, there's an asterisk, and it's.
I'd be like, well, guess what? Well, luckily, I can make 400 bans online. So yeah. There you go. but yeah. That's what John's list is my list as well. It's so funny though. Probably chat hear me say this stuff because my opinion was so much different when I played. I would definitely when I played have been like, I got to see this on LAN. This kid's joking me left and right.
100%.
But I can see where you guys are coming from. But just like from the outside looking in though, like he's playing well, man. Like in the last two tournaments, he's been the best player in my opinion. In the last two tournaments, I think he's been the best player on the team.
I mean, the only argument for best player on the team would be Caesar. And I mean, Caesar's a main AR. Coming from a main AR, dropping 1.4 is impressive. You can't discredit him because he's a main AR. He's playing his role correctly. That being said, what Awakening's doing, he uses an AR a lot, but you have to say Awakening's job is a little bit more difficult, even in the slightest. You know what I mean? Like,
everybody on Caesar's team is playing great. I mean, Caesar's amazing. I think he's, you know.
I mean, Caesar would not be doing that unless his teammates were setting him up to do that. Exactly. And then Pharaoh's unreal. We're forgetting about Pharaoh. Pharaoh's unreal, too. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. They're all playing great. I mean, I'm just saying there's clearly somebody who's excelling above them all and you know, taking over games. I just think he's been fantastic. I see where you're coming from, John, because you're always the, you know, contrarian who's like, says the opposite.
I was to take one person on the team first, it would not be Awakening right now, even online, anything.
Well, I think that's situational and depends on the team and what they need, my brother. So,
all right, man. Anyways, yo, Zen, have you played Have you played the Chicago Huntsman at all since like this little bit of, I guess, the bad tournament they had? Because I'm hearing things are like not as great as they were. But I don't know. I'm just wondering if you've played that team since they didn't make it out of the pools or whatever it is, groups.
I think we may have played them once, and I can't even recall how well we did. I mean, they stream scrims every day, so they literally make it public how they're doing. That team is a tournament team. Like, looking at that roster, like, you have to take what they're doing in scrims do tell a story, but for some teams are tournament teams and some teams are like Florida is a tournament team. I'm telling you, in scrims before this, they were not that good. And now they're the best team. Like, it's insane. And then looking at Chicago, they're obviously have a lot of tournament players, so
sorry, chat. I was pulling up the Discord chat. Didn't mean to interrupt. Everybody went, whoa. I'm just getting ready to look at the call-ins.
One more question about teams that aren't yours. Minnesota. So from the outside looking in, it's kind of tough what's happening with Minnesota. I don't know if Alex is back playing yet or whatever, but since it's gone online, they just haven't been – they're not even in the conversation for, like, the top teams in the game, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's solely because of online, or do you think that people have caught up to them? Kind of like –
definitely hit
them. You can say the same for Paris. People just don't say that for Paris, but Paris has been getting absolutely schmick-bobbled, right?
I mean, I think it's just their best excuse. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we were good on LAN. We're not the best online it's right now. I still think Minnesota's solid, but I saw, like – Got our X. I think I saw someone got our X like, LAN is the reason we're not doing well. I'm like, fuck, dude, I team with you. You are good online. Like, really, 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 really good online.
That happens, and, though, man. Like, sometimes you can't shake it.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, maybe he is better on LAN now that he is online. You know what I mean? It's just, In my opinion, that's their best excuse, and I'd probably use it too if I was them. You know, if we were pretty damn good on land, and then we switched to online and we're getting handled, sure, I'd be like, oh, look how good we were on land, but now we're shit. You know what I mean? That's just the easiest thing. It's the easiest thing to say.
What were all those like weird rumors about somebody in the CDL cheating? Was that people like Slack talking about the strike pack? I didn't keep up with any of the conspiracy, whatever people are talking about.
The sad reality is no one would know.
Yeah, that's true.
We're playing online. Like, someone could do that and be an asshole, and no one would know. It just comes down to, like, hoping that no one in the top 60 players in the world would be weird enough to actually cheat versus pros. Cheat them out of money.
Yeah.
Integrity. Like, you just got to look at the best in people at that point and just...
Sheesh, a lot of the pros did come from cheating. The S&D community.
I mean, some were cheating in the past for sure. Like, we know, like, Envoy admitted to cheating in the past, stuff like that. But nowadays, I actually think you'd just be dumb to cheat at this point.
Because, like, in my mind, it's like, if someone's cheating right now, surely when we go to LAN, there's going to be a difference in your gameplay, and it's going to be quite apparent.
It's going to affect your career.
Like, and this, it's all about longevity here. So if you win champs, that's 400K. That's a good job, cheater.
Nice cash grab, but like,
I mean,
there's definitely ways we can avoid it though. Like,
hand cams, someone would actually be cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's do PS4, you know, wire cams instead of face cams. Like, I don't know. There'd just be no way to prevent it, I guess.
No, I mean, I think after there has been talk of cheating, whether it's people pulled it out of their ass or what, I think it's definitely being looked into as to how it can sort of be monitored. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, pull something from the back end of the PS4. I have no idea. I honestly talking about.
I mean, realistically, it's as simple as a camera. Like, literally, you set up a camera that can see all of you, like your console, your controller, and
how hard would that be?
It's that simple. I mean, I have to assume in this day and age, it wouldn't be too difficult. Just set up a little webcam somewhere.
At your hands. Well, it'd have to show the wire into the PS4 and your hand. Yeah, I guess you could do it.
I mean, you could play wireless at home, so that's not a big deal. You just show what you're playing with and play.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just make everybody play wireless and show your hand, that would work. That would definitely work. We have a lot of call-ins, guys. Should we get into it now? You guys ready?
I see Zuma in there. Get him in here.
All right, guys. Tommy. Once again, before we get into the call-ins.
I dropped you in the neck.
Yeah, he's going to come in. Watch.
Before we get in more call-ins, guys, if anybody wants to still join up, you have time. !! Call-in in the chat. !! Discord. And you can come on in here, ask your question, and I'll drag you guys in one by one. Now, let's see if this messes up the webcams, because we don't have our great producer, FaZe Ben. Let's see. Oh, hold on. I'm going to have to move you guys down. But I think Zuma is now in the call, but he's double muted. That's not good.
He is. Yeah, what's up, Tom?
Tommy.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Hey, where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey. I had a question for Anthony Zinni. You know?
What's up, Tom?
Who, you know, you're talking about the FaZe team before, you know, the Black Ops 4.
Who do I think should have been dropped?
Correct.
Judging off Vegas, I think you should have been dropped, probably.
Damn.
But I think we should have adjusted roles because we had Priesta not running a SOG. You didn't like the SOG at the event. And
who the fuck liked the SOG?
I think Chris should have. And we had Chris on us. Preston should have been on SOG over Chris, and then Chris should have been on next floor main AR. We had a serious role issue there, Garrett, like 100%.
Did you guys have
Preston? It may not have fixed that, but judging on performance at the event, I don't think I should have been dropped.
Wait, what did you guys play for the event?
Top 16, right, Tom?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking horrible.
It was bad.
Fucking horrible. It was horrible, Pac. What the fuck was going on?
In hindsight, Selyum, great pickup.
Can I defend myself here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Zin, a lot of top subs got shit on that event. You know that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Why am I getting dropped for subs getting shit on?
No, I'm just
great
saying.
Great point.
There's a lot more to the team than just, you know, the KD ratio and stuff like that. You know, there's other stuff.
Yeah,
you gotta look
I know.
You
listen, brother.
Let me say one more thing. Come on.
Okay, go ahead.
Who did we want before we picked you up? Who do we want?
Okay, yes. You wanted the SMG player, but that's not
SMG
fair.
Player. We got the wrong roles, Zin.
You picked up a fucking Maddox. You didn't pick up an SMG, Tom. You picked up Selyum, who was running the Maddox. Don't tell... You didn't pick up a BZ. Don't act like you dropped me for...
Easy. Zin, come on.
I'm fine. But listen, yes, you did want a sub player. Now, granted, on that team, My head could have been more in the game, 100%.
There you go. You're a good man.
And that's why I say, based off the event Vegas, I don't think I could have been dropped. And that's why I always say it like that.
But you can't base stuff off one event, Zen.
It was the only event we had so far.
Yeah, but it was one event. It was in the beginning of the game. One of the best SMGs in World War II chalked the fucking star. He said, I'm not running this shit. I'm picking up the Maddox. Remember?
What are you talking about? You?
No, fool Kenny. I wanted to run the Maddox, and nobody wanted to let me run the fucking Maddox. I had to fucking run the two-pass
shot. At the end of the day, that move didn't work out for either of you guys. Either you guys qualified at the easiest qualifier of all time.
Shit, man. What I wish happened was
Wait, hold on. I got to speak on that.
That's the easiest qualifier of all fucking time.
True. Hold on. That, 100, anything could have happened to that fucking qualifier. You and me know that, John.
That was the easiest qualifier ever.
Six matches on land.
Listen. 100T almost didn't qualify that event.
They went 4-2. They still made it, and they sucked.
They didn't suck.
If they didn't qualify, that would have been tragic.
Have you not heard the stories? Gosh, they were down 0-2 to like. I don't even fucking know.
I remember being on the stage, literally watching that. For
like 10 minutes.
John, I remember being on the desk watching them. We're like, run it up. Like, they're getting shit fried right now.
They were getting tucked.
Listen, all I know is the SOG off the very start of that game shot fucking pebbles.
It definitely did.
And it sucked. And I wanted to run the Maddox. I wasn't allowed to do that.
Wait, Tommy, you guys did not, like... There was no like justifiable reason to drop Zen.
No, listen. Here's,
you're right. It was a little fucked up.
The team didn't match.
No, hold on. Let me tell the story of how they dropped.
It's my first fucking call.
Tell the story of how they dropped me.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom, Zen.
So I'm rooming with Tommy, and Tommy's a sketchy fuck. See, I'm a smart guy. I know something's up. He's sitting there in the bed next to me.
I go,
any changes? Yeah, you could just tell when someone's lying in your face. I was like, yo, Tom, we're not changing anything, are we? He goes, I haven't heard nothing. I don't fucking know.
Nothing.
He goes, I haven't heard shit. And then Dylan walked. No, I knew they ditched me to get ice cream. I said, I'm gonna get my wallet. They're already halfway down the street. I was like, what?
We didn't get fucking
ice cream, Tom.
We didn't get that shit.
Wait, yeah, we did. Because I met up with you guys. We all went and got it. But you could have kind of tipped the fuckers off. And then
he knew because they went to go get ice cream.
Of all people, listen, bro. Chris is on his team. I swear I've known forever. Tommy, Dylan, people I've known forever. Preston was the guy who said it. We're on a rooftop in LA. We're about to go take pictures with at like the FaZe offices in our FaZe apparel. And Preston goes, yeah, we just think Cell's too big of a talent to pass up on. And then Ben fucking Neeson at the end of it, he goes, Cell's in, what are you about to do? And I was like, I'm about to go sit in my hotel room. What the fuck are you? What am I about to do? He goes, you wanna come get food with us? I was like, no, I don't want to come get food. You just drop me. and if I recall correctly, I was like, why the fuck isn't Tommy dropped? He just got shit on. I'm pretty sure I said something along those lines. I deflected. Listen, we're over it now. It happens. Looking back at it, I don't think it was right. We live and we learn, but just Ben Neeson, dude. I couldn't believe it. He looked at me and goes, so what are you about to do? I was like, what am I about to do?
Man.
Thank you,
Tommy. Bro. I appreciate the question, bro.
No problem.
All right, Tom. Take it easy, my guy.
Man, have a nice night, guys.
You sad, brother.
What a wonderful guest.
That was good.
Next up, we're going to have Gersh.
Yeah, what's up, Gersh?
Hi, Gersh.
Got to unmute.
You got to unmute, man. How you doing? Right, where brother. You from?
Give me a second. Just got to mute the Twitch stream.
Okay, he's in my
first
soul.
It's actually an honor to be here.
Sounds like
a big fan of all the guys.
Okay, let's go.
That's dope.
So my question is, I'm actually currently in college. I'm a bio major. I'm trying to be an orthopedic surgeon, you know, going to sports medicine. And when you're in that field, when you're looking at that kind of scope of things, you get into conversations about how teams take care of their players, you know, look out for them. And also players' needs, players' rights in general. So my question is actually for methods. I wanted a current player's perspective on this, but to what level do you think like these kinds of efforts of taking care of players are currently taken in the CDL? It's like ergonomic gear at LANs and stuff. And what more do you think could be done?
Now, you're asking like from an organization perspective what they can do as in like to help your fitness and your mental health and things like that is what I'm...
No, I think...
Yeah, of course.
Or like...
I think... I mean, what comes to mind is
physical health or whatever you're saying, orthopedic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the chairs are sitting in. Like, Zitty's sitting in a goddamn Herman Miller, so they're getting taken care of.
Yeah. I mean,
From
my team's perspective, every day we do mobility training. Every single day at 1:30 p.m. before scrims. Like, whether it's hand stretches, wrist stretches, every single day we do it. And we haven't been doing it long enough for me to tell you it's, like, helping that much. Thinking about it long term, I mean, we know gamers who get hand problems, and like me, I've been competing professionally for 8 years, so I think it's good that we're doing mobility stuff. And
yeah,
because all it takes is one little hand pain to end your career. You know what I mean?
Alex from Minnesota last tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure exactly what happened to him. But I would say personally, Toronto's been really, really active in that conversation and making sure that that stuff is sort of in the back of your mind and it's taken care of. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah. All right, Gersh, let me ask you a question. Since you're the one that's studying it, how long do they have to be doing this for it to actually matter? Like, how long do they have to be stretching for? And not a day. Like, it's got to be a couple months, something like that. A time period. Is there an answer to that question?
To be honest, I'm actually only in my second year of college.
You don't know anything yet. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, do come from like a medical family, and of course I'm actually dealing with a fractured back right now, so in terms of physical therapy, you always want to keep that up, because the stronger you are, the less likely you are to have any kind of injury happen.
Okay.
All right.
What were you saying though? Are you talking about because I was tweeting about my back or something?
I was talking about my experience with a physical therapy right now. I have a fractured lower back right now.
No, I thought you said something before the Zen question, the reason you asked this question. But hey, thank you for coming in here.
Yeah, of course. Before I go, I just want to thank Zuma, actually. The reason I got into COD was sneaking my phone behind the classroom during a history of my freshman year of high school, watching FaZe tear it up on BO3. So
shout out
Zuma.
Oh, there we go. He's still in here. Hold on.
He loved watching Tommy on the wrong directions.
Yo, Tommy.
No, I love watching Clayster fall off the map. But
yo, T, you there?
Nah, he's not there.
He walked away. All right. Well, thank you, Gersh. Appreciate
he
you,
man. Said in the chat, get me back in. He's there.
Oh, yeah. Here, he's back in. He's going to mess up the videos for a second, but hi, T.
Hey, what's up, Tommy?
What happened?
Got to be quick. The video's messed up, guys. But yeah, I just wanted to introduce you, Gersh, to the guy that got him into COD. You got Gersh into COD.
Oh, yeah, Gersh, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. We used to have our laptops under our desks during history class freshman year, watching the FaZe on BO3.
Well, I'm gonna give you guys the room downstairs. The subscriber eights call. Enjoy, guys.
Reppin from Minnesota wants to get in.
All right.
He said, "How do I call in?" So someone, join
the Discord, brother.
No one asked that guy how
he broke his back in quarantine. Anyways,
yo, Curtis. Come on, John, man. Like, stop getting me with these, dude.
Give me a minute, please.
What?
How you break your back in quarantine? Sorry, Curtis.
Oh, man.
I was, like, tripping. All right, so what's up? How you doing?
How you doing, Curtis? Where are you from, dude?
Cali.
Hey. How is it out there, man?
Fucking beautiful out there.
John already knows, you know.
It's gorgeous.
Same old, same old.
COVID Central.
So what's the question, my guy?
So coming off at the end of the year, I was going to ask, what would we need to change for two-way players so they can play in some sort of fashion? Because that's, like, been a big topic throughout the year. Like, in cases like General Kleenex when he was not on the main team.
I'll let Zen answer this one.
That's, like, a contractual question. To be honest, I'm not sure what necessarily needs to change in the wording and the league's rules, but yeah, I think if you're not competing in the pro league, you should be able to compete in challenges. But that being said, if you compete in the entire pro league for the entire year and you get dropped, I'm not sure if you should go right in challengers and just laugh at people, you know what I mean? But
that's true.
I mean, I think that's more of a contract thing than anything else?
League rules.
Yeah. It's league rules. It's league rules. Yeah, we've talked about that. Like, the sixth guy.
But he wants to know what needs to change.
Well, if you're not competing, like the players that are on my team that haven't played a pro match should be able to compete in challengers. You know what I mean? There's also a bunch of different rules where it's like you can't play with players on different franchise teams. So it's just like a, I don't know. I think the whole thing needs to be looked at again. And
you know, people suggest waivers.
There needs to be some practicality involved in the rules. Like the sixth guy at your homestand when, you know, when LAN was an actual thing, that guy's never going to play. But you have to have him there in these rules to play just in case something happens to Zen, right?
Like, and if he has to play, then the other team just has to forfeit the match.
Right, bro. But in reality, that like doesn't happen. So if he has to play, the whatever challenger team he's on has to hold that L. But the way Activision works, they don't work like
or
that.
Or they have
so,
a sub player, like
something needs to change. So that's what would need to happen.
But we've talked about this before. It's really not our decision, and to people who work in League Ops to figure that one out, because that is a tough one to figure out.
And like I know it's too early because this is like the first year of franchising, but would you think maybe next year there'd be like an academy league, like just for the subs, and then because like
I don't think anybody in here can give you an actual answer on that.
I don't think so. That means you're basically telling all the franchises that they have to employ 10 players,
and we already have a huge prize pool for we have a $500,000 prize pool for our Challengers League, and we support them more than any other major esport. So I don't think we'll be having another one. That would just be more on the organization.
To his point, though, I would agree that I think there should be something. There should be a reason why you want to be a team sub. Right now, I feel like being a team sub is not a good thing, other than like the, I guess the guaranteed 50K. That's good, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
But like, you don't really want to do that. I'd rather compete for the whatever the crazy prizing that they get and be able to be a competitor, so then I could actually become a pro player. As a sub right now, you're basically kind of just sitting there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also used in different ways. I mean, look at Maniac on Florida. Like, that's more of like a content perspective.
It shouldn't
than an
be
actual
used in that
player.
Way, though.
I mean, yeah,
no,
but I mean,
that's the nature of that role, though. That role should be different.
I mean, for Flora, I don't blame him. It's like, okay, let's get some more exposure via this guy because we have the guys that we think will be playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I mean, I get their perspective.
They're making do. I think it was good decision with how the current way it's structured. But I mean, like what John said, it should be structured differently in the way that, you know, that things like that don't happen.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It needs to be.
But thank you for your question, Curtis.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, thank you for the call.
For having me.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Have a good night,
you too.
All right. Hey, Blizzard, what's up, dude? Is this Blizzardy in my chat every day, my guy? Are you there?
What do you guys know?
Get on mute, brother.
Yeah, I hope he says no, that's not me.
Is this
Yo,
Blizzardy?
What is good?
What's up, brother?
Is this Blizzardy, bro?
Good, guys. Yeah, sorry, I just had
the
it on
unit
you.
Himself, Blizzardy. What's good, my guy? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. What's your question, brother?
My question, you can all your take on it, but it's basically how many players do you think teams or franchises should shoot for next year?
As in
like on their roster?
Number of players? Like 10 or 8 or 7?
We're assuming it stays 5v5 and how many people should get?
As many good players as you can get. I mean, don't fill your roster up just for sake of filling it up, but whatever the salary cap permits. And I mean, like for me, if I can get 8 Celiums, I'm going to fucking do it. Like it really just depends on what magic that the GM can produce and what they can do with their salary cap. You know, like... I think next year there will be some players that, you know, will be joining teams on a budget because they're worried about, you know, their stock in this after this season, because a lot of teams flopped this season and will not be extremely desirable, to some of the teams that are formed during this, possible teams that are going to be in, discussions to be formed. So I think GMs can make a lot of moves this season, good moves.
And we also don't know what's going to happen. Like, for all we know, the league could expand like Overwatch, or it could stay the same, or somehow we go back to 4v4. Like, honestly, your question, it's a good one, but it's pretty much impossible to answer.
It's so hard with how it is now. Like,
yeah.
So hard. And I think a lot of people have, like, plus one deals, if I'm wrong. Yeah, everybody has, like, yeah, so there might not be as much change as people think, but we'll see.
Yeah,
I feel you guys. I'm loving the outfit, by the way.
I think there's going to be a lot of change. What?
I'm loving the outfit.
Thanks, brother. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but like thinking about it, like, if I can get whatever I can get with the money I have, I'm going for it.
Yeah, but realistically, you know, you're not able to get eight people like that, or
of course
any amount. I definitely wouldn't go.
But there's no Toronto's faded. His question was like, if there's a magic number. There's no magic number. It's just get as many as you can, because if there's anything this year taught you is you're probably gonna have to make a change to win by the end of the season. Yo, what's going on, my guy Ikaj? Am I saying that right?
Jake. It's Jake backwards.
Yeah. Oh,
come on, bro. Come on.
It gets me every time. Welcome to the show, dude.
I wanted to ask Vinny. Since he's one of the most like charismatic players in the league right now, what does he have any plans after, like, you retire? Even though it's far away, probably.
Yeah,
retirement's coming up.
Listen. You're an asshole. I will compete for as long as I feel like I can compete. Like, I would not. I don't want to be playing getting smoked by Sim. I'll be like, all right, it's time for me to step back, and I'll probably go full-time content creation. I mean, right now, the way I think of content creation as a pro player, I feel like the quality of life to do full-time pro play as well as full-time content create is fucking difficult, man. Like, it doesn't really leave room for much. Like, you can't even watch a Netflix show. It's hard to work out. It's the schedule to be a full-time player and full-time content creator is rough. So I think when I'm done competing, I would like to try full-time content creation and see how far I can take that, because I think I can definitely up my content if I was just focused on that, whereas the stressors of competing and the time commitment it comes with, it's tough. So probably, yeah, content creation.
Thanks, Jake. That's
the way to go.
What would you do, Zen? Would you be like a just basically a streamer and try to go that route?
I mean that, but I think like the skits I've done, like the Build an Empire one, like the Chef Tony stuff, like I have a lot of video ideas that I just can't make happen right now that I'd like to do.
Something that's an option, you know, you don't have to box yourself and just simply being a content creator yourself, because that's a lot of work too. You could go be like content director for a team.
It's too early to tell. From what I know, I'm interested in doing on camera work.
Because you just said that when you're getting smoked by Simp off the stage, and that's kind of happening right now.
It's not happening
shit like that.
Okay.
I was shooting back hard. I was shooting his fucking body. But I mean, no. When my time comes, I mean, like, even what like Clint's doing. Like, if there's an opening in somewhere in the CDL broadcast team, like, that's something I've also been interested in since I was 15 years old. So I mean, being able to do that and create content, it's just, I don't know. I'm hoping that there's going to be multiple options, and then we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But we'll see.
You might have to grow the stash back and like look a little bit more like a man.
No, I will.
You know?
Yo,
thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for the question, Jake.
Thank you, brother.
Yo, I think that guy was like the super Huntsman fan last time he was in here. I think it was.
Was it?
Jake guy. Yeah. I was gonna ask him about it again because that was before I got smoked in the tournament. But yeah. All right, we bring Joe Flem back in here. What's up, dude?
Yo, what's going on?
What the hell are you using?
Whoa! Oh, you know what happens if your mic's too bad?
Not like this. No.
This guy's
here, dude. Ask your question, but like, enunciate
precisely. Yes,
talking through the magic conch shell.
Joe?
He's probably switching his mic or getting a new one. Maybe drag him back and drag him back. Give him a chance.
I do not trust this one. I'm moving him out.
Yo. I'm sure he's a good guy.
Yo, turtle. Oh, I'm terrified, turtle.
Turtle! Entourage Turtle?
Yo, right? Yo, Turtle.
Next.
Good
in
lord.
5, 4, 3. Whoa, he just immediately left himself. Yo, Munchy Munch, what's up, dude?
Oh, hey, friends.
Where are you from?
Is Michael messed up?
Buffalo, New York.
Hey, how is it out there?
Yo, Munch, you're gonna have to unmute.
Wait, what? Munch is talking. You don't hear?
How to be blasted.
Do I not? Do I have him muted?
Yeah, he's got you muted. He's got him muted.
I don't know how to. Oh, I do have him muted. God, that guy's annoying.
All right, Munch, what's your question?
That's
dude?
Crazy. All right, Danny, who's your COD father?
Who's my COD father?
Yep.
What kind of question is that? What do you got, like?
I mean, who's your COD father?
Who taught you the wave? Who taught you how to be a COD player, how to be a content creator? Who'd you learn most from? Doesn't have to be a teammate. Nate shot? Okay.
Yeah. That was kind of the golden child and threw that one away.
You let him down, makes sense, bro.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. When?
Well, it all makes sense. It was kind of like Nade, Seth, Hector, all three like helped me a lot. Like they'd text me to like delete dumb tweets, just like shit like that. Because I mean, I won that local with them in Philly, and I was kind of like, I don't know, but those three probably helped me about most of my come up. Mm. And then that Optic blacklist shit happened, which everybody blew out of proportion. And
Is that Ghost?
That was Ghost, yeah.
That blacklist was in Ghost.
I was 16 years old.
I was in that. I was in that Skype group. Everybody was in that Skype group. She was hilarious, dude.
Yeah, and I was hilarious.
Except Zinn was like a kid typing up elaborate messages. It was so funny. Right, but everybody was in there.
He just fucking lied through his teeth. That did not occur ever. I said three things.
No. But you were like, what you said. Whoever. So somebody was a major op in that chat. I remember and screenshotted it and sent it to them.
No, Bose was in there. Someone kicked Bose.
Oh yeah.
They added Bose back, and somehow he saw the whole convo. And then I was watching Nate's stream when like Mark showed him like the chat, and he pointed, because my name was Zeus on Skype, and he pointed at that. He was like, "Guess who that is." He's like, "Who?" He said, "Methods." Nate's face just got fucking bright red, and like, it's not, he didn't care about anybody else in there but me.
To
like,
be fair, I remember reading the stuff in that chat, and it really was like, they blew it so far out of proportion. Bro.
What it was, talking about the Optic blacklist, it started with like pros. Optic was huge, right? And other pros wanted to grow. So all the pros agreed. They're like, "Yo, when you get off your stream, send them here. Send them to your friends."
I remember this. We made a huge group chat.
And then Pat came through. Fucking Pat. He goes, "All right, everybody delete Optic." Pat goes, "Everybody thought I was the ringleader." Pat's like, "All right, everybody delete Optic." No one talked to them. I was like, "I'm not doing that." I was like, that's insane. And then I said, 16 years old, fat as fuck. Remember, I sit there. I said, "The fall of Optic." That's all I said. Bang. Bang. Just thousands of comments, "You obese fat fuck, how dare you disrespect people who made you." And then here I was, distraught, a 16-year-old kid. I'm losing friends. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. Like, that was like,
I remember that chat. That chat was made with the purpose of everybody supporting each other. That was the closest Kai community's ever been. In Ghost, we're all in a chat. We're like, "Yo, let's just start gassing each other up. Let's send it. Let's like,
it's kind of unfair, bro."
And I remember we added some Optic guys to that group at the time. We're like, "Yo, guys, like, if you want to be involved, we're going to start supporting each other." And I'm like, "Psh. Nice try." And so, yeah, Pat came through and he was like, "Fuck these motherfuckers." And then Zen took the fall for that whole situation.
I was already mad at the time, because I don't know if you guys remember, that was when MLG TV was first made. And that's when they got put onto EG later on in that year. And they couldn't stream on MLG TV.
Yeah, because I remember it was only a couple people, but like we had like minimum guarantees from MLG TV where we would get paid just for streaming 40 hours or so a month. And yeah, I think Pat was pissed off that we were all getting like money from that, and he wasn't. And then, in hindsight, if he wasn't an idiot, if he just grinded out Twitch, he'd be absolutely killing it. But you know, he was just sitting there like, "Fuck, dude." But yeah, that MLG TV thing sucked, man. Because if we were just grinding Twitch back then, when COD hit its first pop, oh my god, we all made a mistake. All of us, Zen, we would have been huge, dude.
To be fair, like the way they portrayed MLG TV was like, this is going to be amazing. It's like, all right, you stream this amount of hours, you get this much guaranteed.
It was great.
I remember I was on Curse Youth, these people, right? I joined Curse, right? I'm like, "Oh, Curse? That's a Curse was like an org." That was like, "All right, I'm on Curse."
That's
word.
What became Liquid, basically.
So Curse Youth, right? They go, "All right, so you're going to generate... all the money you would generate at MLG TV will go towards your funding for events." And we're sitting there like, "Wait, what?" We had to like stream on MLG.TV Curse Youth to generate money for us to go to events. So it was kind of like the most one-sided thing ever. Like, we were kind of promoting Curse for absolutely no reason. They didn't give a shit. Like, it was weird, but
yeah.
MLG TV was painted like,
well, we Mona just didn't
Lisa.
Know.
It was like the perfect picture.
None of us had been making money really outside of tournament winnings prior to that. So we were like, "What the hell? Hell yeah, we're about to make some good cash." So we all did it. But like, if we knew what we knew now, obviously, we would have never done it. But yeah, I mean, you couldn't stream your tournaments or 2Ks or anything unless you're on MLG TV.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what was the nail in the coffin there. But yeah. His Codfather's Nade Munch. Thanks for the question, bro.
can I add on to the MLG TV thing?
I mean, it was just the least viewer-friendly site.
But it had the best quality of any. It did have the best actual quality of any streaming site. I will say that it still does. Like if you go on the MLG player, their quality is unreal. So there's that. Throw them one bone.
That's because there's 20 streamers on the site.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Thanks, Munch.
Get Master King in here, bro. He's been waiting.
Yo, Master King, what's good?
No, he's muted.
He'll get it in a second. Master King. This guy's fully muted, too.
There he is. What's good,
Master King? What's up, bro?
Yo, what's good, brother? Master King, the OG.
Yeah, I suck to you, my bro.
Yes, sir. My guy. My dude in here.
Johnny Z's in the house right here, bro.
What's up?
What's your question, Master King?
What's good?
I got questions for all of you. So, Nameless, what was your best event you had through COD?
Like individual performance, probably UMG Philly with Killa, and Haggy. I literally dropped a 1.4 at that event, and then got dropped.
Then got dropped.
I had my best event of all time. I literally, to this day, I'm mind blown. I hard carried the absolute living shit out of them, and then they dropped me. I'm still mad about it.
What was their reasoning?
They wanted to team with Ricky. There was actually really no reasoning. They just thought they were the shit and dropped me.
I definitely thought they were the shit at the time, no doubt.
Oh yeah, and X Games with TK, with Haggy, Gunjar, and Sharp. Another one of my best performances, got fourth place. We should have definitely gotten a medal there. I'm mind blown. We literally 4-0 denial. I straight had them, bro. I was having them. And then we just fucking ended up losing, dude. And I was mind blown. I literally almost cried for that tournament. I was so mad.
That's crazy.
But yep, that's your answer to that one.
Yo, Zinni.
What's up?
So what was the best team you enjoyed playing with through, COD right now, obviously?
Enjoyed or like you're talking about enjoyed, like had fun or my best?
Yeah,
team?
Like, yeah. I mean, like Optic plays maybe? Like,
my Optic team was the most fun out of game, definitely. It was like me, Seth, Krim, Sam. That's like a really fun team. But like, I think I had the most fun with Ry's team, me, Looney, TJ, Pierce, because we were winning. We went like a 20.
That was a good one.
We went on like a 20 land win streak, and obviously me and TJ are close, so like winning. Winning is just
the Iceman right there, dude.
When you're winning, like you could hate each other, but you still like each other. You're not. It's a weird. Like probably Rise.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so I graduated high school.
Congrats.
Congrats, brother.
That's dope. Congratulations.
Yo, Peck, you remember me, bro, on Twitter?
No. I'm not gonna lie to you.
What happened when you said like Five Guys is trash, bro? What's up?
Oh, Five Guys is actual garbage.
That's a fucking delusional statement.
Bro, it's at the bottom of the high tier.
You're gonna make me lose my mind, bro. Listen. No.
Garbage.
Listen, literally, Master King.
Master King, speak your piece. Speak your piece. Let's hear.
Say what you gotta say, bro.
Everything on the burger is pretty good. Like, you have to have everything on it.
All right, listen, bro. All right, that's horseshit. But like, all right, so we're gonna get past the other fast food burgers. Like, it's better than like the McDonald's grouping of burgers, right? But that's when you get to the higher tier fast group of fast food group burgers, it's not better than
In-N-Out. It's better than In-N-Out.
And Shake Shack.
In-N-Out is grouped with McDonald's and shit.
Pretty good.
No, it's not.
Shake Shack is definitely better than everything.
Shake Shack's way better than Five Guys. Not even close. In-N-Out's way better than Five Guys. Not even close.
What?
In-N-Out fries are like cardboard with ketchup.
In-N-Out is in the same discussion as McDonald's, bro. It's just a fast food cheap spot, in my opinion.
We can go back and forth all day.
Yeah, McDonald's is kind of crap.
Five Guys fries, though, you get a small fry, you can feed the family for a week. No
bullshit. Wait.
We're just talking about purely the burger.
Wait, real quick.
In-N-Out's fries.
Real quick. McDonald's is fire. Why do people use McDonald's? McDonald's is like the statement to roast.
It's the highest tier. That's actually respect. We say McDonald's. We don't say fucking, I don't know, Carl's Jr. or whatever the fuck you have.
I put In-N-Out and McDonald's like this level, mano y mano, bro.
Well, that's just false. It's a false statement.
You're a sheep if you wait in line.
That's disrespectful. I'm a sheep.
You say,
you're a sheep if you wait in line.
Well, you know I'm not a sheep.
Have you ever had Wendy's?
Wendy's is heat. Dave's double is crack, bro.
Dave's the Baconator is fire, bro. Like, I have that all the time.
Listen, bro, all I'm saying is Burger King is severely underrated.
Five Guys Burger.
Oh, it is. And wait, say
Burger
that
King
for,
is
say
so that underrated. The Whopper is fucking unbelievable, dude. Oh, so underrated. Crazy.
Yes.
All right, well, listen, I'm getting hungry. Bro. We got to end the combo.
Next question.
Master
next
King.
Question.
Thank all you, right. brother.
All right, we got two more questions in. Two more questions, okay? Yo, King W, what's up, dude? Yo, W. King W.
King W.
Hey, Scump fan for sure. W's my guy,
hey,
dude. He's always in the chat.
Sorry about that, guys. Can y'all hear me?
What's good, my brother? How are you?
Hey, nah, big fan of you guys, all three of you all, really.
You from Bama, bro?
No, Virginia. Oh, okay. Also kind of under the weather. I'm sure I sound a little hick and a
you're
little
good,
sick, so no worries.
A little hick and a little sick.
First question, I want to ask Nameless, actually. So what made you want to compete like in pro and then carry on to the CODcast and everything else?
Okay, so that's a very long answer, but I'll summarize it. So yeah. What made me want to compete was way back in the day, I was just playing like online, and that shit was hella fun, just like beating people. And then just like, you know, you play basketball, you're like, I want to play 5v5 once you start to shoot well. You know, I want to play some pickup games, whatever. And yeah. I found out about game battles, and I was like, I want to play on this team ladder. Like, these guys can't be that good. And once you start playing, you're like, I want to move up in the team ladder. So you just get addicted. You know, it's like competition. You get addicted to competition. You want to grow, get better. And then they started putting out tournaments. Like, wait, I can make money on here? This guy won a tournament? I played him the other day. I was better than him. So you play that tournament. And then it's like an addiction as time goes on to, like, get better and better and better. And before you know it, you're just caught in it, right? You're like, I just want to continue doing this. It kept getting bigger and bigger each year. And then there's the element of you don't want to miss out on something. And every year when it gets bigger, you don't want to miss out on that. So I just played. I played for 10 years. And then once the shit got super stressful and I wasn't really happy to get on every day and I knew I was going to have an uphill battle, try to get back on a team, I was like, well, shit, I'm a grown-ass man now. I got to make sure I make money for the next 10 years or so. So I started to figure out other things to do, and then that's how CODcast and stuff happened. Yeah, summarized, that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Good deal. And for you, Methods, what actually happened with the Optic team in World War II? Because I was watching, and like just from my perspective, it didn't seem like – I know sometimes that practice not being taken seriously is something – so I didn't
it wasn't
know
practice. It was no. So everybody thinks it was role issues, which is easy to say. But looking back on that team, we were number one in the regular season standings. So and in scrims, we were unbelievable. We just didn't bring it to the tournament play. Like if you look at Call of Duty champs, if we beat Pat in one map, they're knocked out of the tournament, and we have their bracket. And from me, that Optic team was pretty much a momentum-based team. Like, we had a lot of unreal players, and once we caught fire, we were on fire. And we didn't catch fire, and it's just that simple. I mean, we probably had one of the best teams of all time when it came, like, getting along outside the game and, like, just having fun, like, being able to hang out with your teammates. Like, we all genuinely really liked each other. You have Grim, who's a fucking weird man, of course, and leaves books on your door when you play have a bad series. But, like, I mean... It's all part of, like, we just didn't show up when we needed to. It's really that simple. Like, the role issue was not that big of a problem. It's just the excuse that people gave when it was a problem.
Hmm. Yeah, it because honestly, on paper, that team's probably one of the best, honestly, just being real.
Yeah, I mean, like, when it comes to pure talent, now, if they had an SMG, Prim would have used an AR, he probably would have performed better. From our practice and our actual matches in the league, like that weren't tournaments, roles were not a problem.
I gotta interject here, bro. That team was not one of the best teams in terms of raw talent. I saw John push the glasses forward. I saw Yaya in the chat say cap. Like, yeah. No, it was a solid team, but in terms of pure raw talent, no way that was one of the best teams.
So?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Sam's regard is one of the best of all time, but I think at the time, I don't think people like Scump and Tim are some of the best of all time. I don't think at that time they were considered one of the best at that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think me and Sam were considered really good at that game. And then.
You guys were one of the best teams for sure, talent wise, in the game.
We just didn't put it together. That's pretty much it. Like, and everybody started making excuses that it was role problems.
Yeah, I was talking about more of that team, though, Nameless.
Oh, okay.
Or more of that game, sorry.
Yeah, and that game, they were all great.
Also, Zinni, you got to grow the stash back, dude.
Yeah?
I feel like that helps.
I feel like that helps. Yo, W, thank you, brother.
Wait,
I appreciate
it. Helps with gameplay,
bro. That's what it is.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, with gameplay. Anyways, you guys have a good day. Thanks, y'all.
All right.
Should have shit without the mustache.
W's my guy, man. All right, we're going to do one more. I think Vonderhaar Elite, dude. Yo, Vonderhaar Elite, what's up, man?
Huh?
Yo, what's good, Vonderhaar Elite? How are you doing?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good, bro. What's up?
You have a question?
Yeah, I got a question. So, personally, I'm a Dallas Empire fan, and I wanted to ask Methods how he feels about the team, because, like, lately, I mean, they should have been winning those events, but it's been kind of, like, disappointing seeing, like, you know, Grimsticks playing, like, complete trash because he's old. I mean, Illy is, like, mad underrated, bro. He's the most underrated player in the league, but you guys don't want to, like, all the casters just sleep on him, bro.
That's not true. I've heard the casters specifically say, like, Illy is slept
on. He's I don't mean to argue with you, but, like, he's been carrying Dallas for S&D, like, starting on Piccadilly last time. But, like, you guys are always like, oh, my God, like, oh, Pharaoh's so underrated, which, like, he is, but
trolling.
Illy, bro.
Nah, bro, listen, you're capping right now, because I've heard casters talk about how good Illy is. No matter what, the best three on that team right now are Illy, Hoop, and Shotzi. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're both crying about your crimp comment. But listen, bro, it's just a competitive league. You know what I mean? No matter how good the players you get, like, looking at the FaZe roster on paper, those guys should not lose a map. You know what I mean? But it just, it's a lot more complicated than just shit like that. But Empire is still great. Just because they haven't been winning doesn't mean that they're bad. It's just there's teams that are sort of caught up to them now. And Illy's disgusting.
Unless I got a question for you, bro.
Yeah.
Who's the better ball guy? Is it Maven or is it David Vonderhaar, bro? Because David Vonderhaar about to save the whole fucking COD game.
It's got to be Von, bro. He's had my back for years, man. Von's the better ball guy,
fired.
Dude. Overall.
This next game, like Cold War, I don't care. It's about to heat up, bro.
Dude, you sound just like Illy, dude, and it's killing me. It's literally hilarious to me, dude. He literally sounds like Ender. But, Yo, DMCA, hey, DMCA, I gotta move you out of here.
Hey, have a
that guy, shit. Yo, he was trolling, dude. He had to be trolling.
I know. I answered his troll question.
I have tears.
What was that, bro? What?
John walked out of the room.
Yo, what?
I think we need to end it there. I can't keep composure. Another question, dude. Do we have anybody else? There's a guy in here named Heater. I'm not dragging him in here.
Shut nah, I kind of want to hear what Heater has to say.
Okay.
Actually, no. To be fair, Cash to Goat has been in there longer than most people.
Yo, Heater, this is a terrifying name, dude.
Oh my
God. I'm about to make a bad call.
That was hilarious, dude. Yo, Heater, what's good, man?
How you doing, brother? Where are you from?
I'm from Indiana, but I live in Texas now.
Okay. You realize you have a terrifying name, right? Heater.
I don't know what your Heater has to say.
Oh, yeah. All right, here's my question.
Whoa.
Oh, Heater.
You got to mute the stream, brother.
Oh, my bad. I thought I had it muted.
No, you're good.
All right, what's your question, bro?
So my question would be, the rosters that you were in talks with this year that kind of fell through, which one would have been the best possible join, like would have been the best team?
Me?
Yeah.
You're the one playing, Zen.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I can't even give you a good answer to that question. I mean, the other option I had would have had Pat on it. So, I mean, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I really don't know.
Sorry, Heater. He can't answer, man. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
All right, bro.
All right, take it easy,
thank you for the question, though, bro.
Sir.
Peace, bro. Just so you guys know, chat, like, we're going to laugh. We're going to joke with you, depending on what your question is. So I'll take it to heat. Yeah. To heart, your name, to heat. I'm going to drag the next one in here, Cash the Goat. Yo, Cash, what's going on? Oh, he's muted. They have to Cash catch up on the stream.
We got
to
make sure.
Oh, yo, there. Cash, what's up, dude?
Yo, what's up, guys?
How you going on?
Good, good. You good? How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right.
What's your question?
My question is really for all of you guys. Like, if you were the owner of GM for Seattle, what would be the thing you did to fix that team? Because that team's in shambles, golly.
We've beat that question, you know, to hell. But, yeah, I mean, I'd chop around for other players and, you know, work with what you got. Sometimes your team's just not going to win. And that's where they're at. So
yeah, I mean, start planning for next year. Given their current situation, there's not much they can actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like,
I'm picking up Pac-Man, bro. You might have to save them, bro. Those dudes are in shambles.
What are you trying to say?
You might be the only thing that's coming. I'm picking up you as a coach. Opti let you go, bro. I don't think you were the problem. You might have to save them. Those dudes are done for.
Oh, all right, Cash. Sheesh. It's a really strong position in Seattle. Well, it sounds like you're a Seattle fan. You changed your allegiance when they were horrible. Is
John,
this true?
One
of my closest friends is, I'm not a Seattle fan, bro, but.
Who are you a fan of?
Chicago.
I guess my favorite pro player would be Frosty, so I guess I'd go with.
Okay. Respect.
I like that answer. I like that answer.
Like, pure esports, my favorite pro player is Frosty.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. That's a good answer.
Well, Cash, thank you for the question, dude.
But yeah, I just want to know what you guys would do. I'd hit up Pac-Man. He might save them.
John's probably watching our Mac vs. Optics grinning ear to ear. Just,
All right, Cash. I'm going to drag you out here, man. Have a good night.
Find them, but no, I actually like the players in Optics, so I don't. Yeah. I'm not like that.
All right, we got Explode. My guy Explode, dude. Another Mount Olympus.
There's a guy there sitting named Chief Zinni. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he's next, man. That's it. Explode, what's up, brother?
Austin did fire me. What?
Yo,
let me mute the stream. All right, there we go.
What's up, brother?
How you
What's
doing?
Up?
How are you?
How are you guys doing? That's crazy. I can't believe I got in.
Doing great, man. The stream's been lit lately. You've been keeping the chat popping. I'm glad to have you here, dude. How are you?
I'm good. So my question is for all you guys. So what is your favorite gun in Call of Duty ever?
MSMC. Instantly. MSMC. Favorite gun ever, dude. Thing was just the most swaggy, drippy, best gun ever, dude. The gunplay was perfect. Best sub, MSMC, bro.
That's a good answer. Good answer.
The bar.
The bar, really?
The most fun probably was probably one of the ACRs. I like the MW3 ACR a lot.
Guy likes posted up laser beams.
I love MW3 though.
Mine's the COD 2 Car 98K or the M8 in Black Ops.
COD 2, no one knows that shit.
What? I don't give a fuck. Yeah, you asked a question. I'm answering the damn question.
It's fair.
What about yours?
Question. 12. That gun was godlike.
For me, I don't know. I gotta say the Maddox. Honestly, that gun was beams, dude.
About to drag you out of here.
Get him out of here.
I'm sorry.
You can aim with that gun. You kept aiming over and over and over.
I didn't start playing COD until like MW3, so.
I actually liked using the PP90 in that game, or was that what it was called? I liked it.
MW3, it was like the MP7 type gun. What was it called?
There was the MP7.
Oh, was this MP7? Oh, I don't remember.
MP9. MP9 maybe?
Whatever it was.
It was one of those.
That gun was elite, dude.
Chaz roasted me for saying Maddox.
All right, yo. Thank you, Explode.
Thank you guys for having me.
See you in the chat.
Have a good night, man.
Have a good
one. Yeah, I'll be tuned in. YouTube.
Oh, shit. Yo, Chief Zinni with one N. What's up, dude? Yo.
Hey, yo, what's going on?
What's going on, brother?
All right, let's spice this up a little.
Whoa.
All right. Uh-oh. So, Zinni, what's your go-to meal after you lose a big game like this one?
Like this one?
Like the one coming up?
Like what one? Add the green wall to that pile, ladies and gentlemen. He's playing the Optic EG loss at champs. Funny guy.
The guy's shooting shots.
Who shit the sheets?
Come on, bro. We know who shit the sheets. I don't got to say it out loud.
Say it out loud, then.
No.
Oh, no.
Nah, come on. Listen, my brother, my good friend, brother. We know who shit to eat. What was your go-to meal? Chicken parm.
Man.
Or buffalo, or some like boneless wings. Like it's straight depressed eating at that point. So it's
in Columbus. You found a good chicken parm to eat in Columbus.
Wait, I had a great chicken parm in Columbus the other day.
Now that I think about it, it was. I don't even know, bro. anything that's terrible for you. Boneless chicken wings, anything.
All right. Well, Chief Zinni, thank you for spicing it up, brother. Peace out, my dude. All right, guys. Joe Flem. Yo, Joe Flem, did you get your mic working? Everybody said to give him another chance.
Get him back in here. Let's give him one more chance.
We're giving him one more shot at it.
Yo, what up, Joe?
Joe Flem. What's going on?
All right, it's not that bad. What's good, Joe?
All right, so Zinni, this question, man, just for you. I'm a fellow Jersey boy here,
all right.
So I gotta know what's the go. Where do you go to get your chicken parm when you come home?
Where are you at in Jersey?
Middlesex County.
So you're like what, 30 from Monmouth?
So yeah, I would.
All right, so you're going to Salerno's and Hazlitt, Beer Vino and Red Bank, or Patricia's in Homedale.
Alrighty, man. That's a fantastic answer. And Pac-Man, can I get a question in for you too?
Yeah, of course.
Why is that Justin Turner jersey?
Yes, it is.
A very interesting selection of all the players on the Dodgers. Why'd you go for Justin Turner?
Because he's the most clutch. The guy's a beast. He's like my favorite player. If there's ever a clutch time, I want him to be one that's coming up to play.
That's a fantastic answer. And Nameless, thank you for bringing me in. Thank you for giving me a second chance.
No and problem, Joe.
Hope you guys have fantastic evenings.
What Thank a you, brother. Great guy.
What a wonderful
nice guy. Oh,
my goodness.
Five-star review.
Wait,
oh
Andrew, one goodness. More. Bring Alex in the mirror there for a while. That's the last guy we need to get to.
Yo, Alex, what's up, dude?
Did Alex, you're
Year. Alex, you're What up, brother?
What's good, bro? How you doing?
Oh, shit.
My bad. I'm a little...
Are you faded?
My father's right here.
You're what?
I thought I was going to get skipped. My father's on three of y'all.
Oh, what's up, dude? How's it going, Pops?
Hey, I'm good. So, question is, now that, you know, we've seen mid-series substitutes, you know, with Seattle, obviously that one kind of hit. But I'm actually Chroma Voodoo, by the way, so I asked you. But now that we actually seen it happen, do you think maybe, like, next season or in the seasons, I mean, we could see GMs being more tactical, signing, like, S&D stars, especially specifically to go into the S&D games?
I'll be honest. I don't know what he asked. I couldn't hear.
Go ahead, Zen. You can answer that.
Well, no. You couldn't hear him correctly, right?
No, yeah.
Yeah, what I gathered was he's asking if you think teams – because he was talking – he was using Seattle as an example. He was asking if you, like, think management and teams will bring in, like, search stars just to play S&D.
Oh, okay. I do think there's I get your question now. You said, can GMs be more tactical with the use of inserting subs mid-series and shit? I think in the future, that is definitely possible. But as COD is right now and the way it's been for the last few years, I don't think that it'll happen anytime soon. You need, like, players that are, like, really intertwined with the community, like being GMs and coaches. Like, it has to be deep-rooted in that in the organization for that shit to start happening. And that the players really, really trust them to be making that decision. But I don't think it's happening soon. I think that, like, successfully soon. I think in a couple years, man, like, we're talking, like, 3-4 years and maybe when we're really developing new talent.
The issue with that also is, like, you don't know what game we're going to be getting, and not every game has a strong search and destroy scene.
Yes.
So, like, who is the S&D star in this game? It doesn't exist.
It's like Teddy Rex and Tupac.
S&D is different at the pro level, bro. It really is. Like, you cannot compare, like, the CMG S&D tournaments to pro level S&D.
Yeah.
It's just completely different. Like, pros play slower. Like, they don't leave gaps. Like, I've watched S&D tournaments where someone runs up mid-map and gets a 4-piece in the back. And that's possible, sure. But it's not that easy when you're playing at the pro level.
Yeah.
Just a different style, especially on land. Well, team play different.
Playing, like, S&D kids play 2v2, 3v3, 4v4s. Like, they actually rarely play, like, a 5v5 tournament.
Yeah.
And then also, you're not playing with the same people over and over again, mostly. You're, like, subbing other people in. It's like, what are you doing this round? I'm winning. And everyone's like, okay. And then they just do whatever they're going to do. And
if S&D was more intricate, if you were playing like Valorant S&D, then maybe we'd see it. But, yeah, no. Yeah. But, yeah, thank you for the question, Alex.
Good question.
No problem. I just hope it. I hope it becomes reality when this season subs is, like, very normal. Hopefully.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good night, man. All right, yo.
All right, have a good night.
I don't know what the hell he was saying at the end there. Hey, but yo,
Tommy wants to come in so bad.
Again, Tommy wants to come in.
Yeah,
should we get him back in? Nah.
Wait, he wants back in. Where is he saying that? He said in the chat.
Said in the chat, and he just unmuted. It's all good. Who cares? All
right. Well, Zen, dude, lit, man. This is,
yo, is there a clown of the week or no?
Ah, man. No. Oh my.
Yeah, that's true.
If Enable finished his hair, he would have been clown of the week. But I just seen him post. He has the Slim Shady cut.
To be fair,
I was gonna call him the clown of the week. It looks kind of fire, though. Not gonna lie. I was gonna call him clown. There is no clown of the week for me, dude. I don't have a clown of the week. Okay. It's been tough, dude.
All right, boys. It's been real.
It has been real, dude. Thank you for doing this, Zen.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah, thank you for coming on.
I wish you luck going forward in the next tournaments. And, you know, you were real professional throughout the show. It was great.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you to all the call-ins, everybody who came in, everybody who stopped by to watch us live. Once again, much love and appreciation. We had an off week last week. But all you guys, enjoy your 4th of July and wear your mask. And Black Lives Matter, even if your timeline is not talking about it anymore. Lastly, everybody who's watching this on your way to work or listening to it on Spotify or iTunes, please go give it a thumbs up and rate it. I appreciate you guys very much. And if you're on YouTube, leave a like, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace out, everybody.
Peace, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much for stopping by, as usual.